Okay, today's daf is daf nun. We were holding in the middle of the reports of the takanot usha. There's a total of 5 takanot usha that we're going to be learning about. So far we've learned about 2 of them that were quoted by Ula, but not by Rabbi Loi, but not by Rabbi Loi directly, but rather Rabbi Loi quoting others. And it turns out that neither of them are correct la'alacha, either because they were improperly reported or because they were never told face. But the first halachah of the chiyav to be zan, the bonav of notav haktanim, to be supportive of your younger children, meaning above the age of 6 until the age of puberty, we saw apparently was not accepted halacha because we had a series of different cases where such things were brought in front of a beit din, and we needed to use other means of persuasion to get people to do this, by pub shaming them or discussing it with them, but apparently it wasn't a straight out, it was not accepted that there was a straight out chiyuv. So that means that takona had never been accepted. Then we had the second case in which we were talking about also the shailas, whether it was nogei l'halacha, where Rabbi Loi this time quoted Reish Lakish, which is that somebody who creates a living will, giving away his property, does it improperly. He gives away his property without any assurance and safeguards that he will be able to live off of proceeds and so on. So they made a takana that someone who's koteh nechasav l'fanav, that he and his wife were meant to be supported. And we also asked, was it nogei l'halacha? And we also discovered that apparently it hadn't been nitfas l'halacha, because we saw that we needed to once again resort to other approaches rather than simply forcing the guy to pay up. And that means that the takanat usha was either didn't exist or wasn't accepted. So that Rabbi Loi was improperly quoting or got lost somewhere in the translation, but that he didn't say himself. The one time that we come today to a takanas usha that is directly quoted by Rabbi Loi instead of quoting by others is on the third line of the Afnunah Med Aleph Amar Rabbi Loi, Usha, further takana of usha, this is number 3, Yitkinu hamevazvez al yevazvez yoter michomesh. Somebody who is spending money on tzedakah and he's spreading the largesse among various poor people should not give away more than 20% of his property. Tanin hamehachi hamevazvez al yevazvez yoter michomesh shema yitzterech lebriot. We don't want people to get overly excited and give away more than 20% of their property because they may end up themselves needy. Because remember that the description, definition of neediness is not an objective neediness. It's neediness according to the style of living that you're used to. And at that point, you could become needy despite the fact that you may be living a very high-flying lifestyle. So therefore, giving away more than 20% is dangerous. It was actually a ma'aseh where somebody had wanted to give away more, and the other chaverim in the Beit HaMidrash, lo inichlo chaverov, some say manu Rabbi Yesheva, some say this is a reference to Rabbi Yesheva, or some say it was the Rabbi Yesheva, lo inichlo chaverov, manu Rabbi Akiva. Others say it was Rabbi Yesheva who wanted to give it away, and Rabbi Akiva now was the one who didn't allow him to do so. Omer Nachman, by the way, there are a lot of acceptable exceptions to this rule, which the Chafetz Chaim lists, although some of them are machlokesim, but that includes a case in which there is an emergency need in front of it. In other words, the idea of Ayavazves is to be mechapes, somebody, people who are needy. But if someone sees a family that's starving or doesn't have clothing, it's on and so forth, feels the need to give it, and that would be mutter. Others learn.
Where's Chafetz Chaim to this?
In the Avas Chesed.
Does that have anything to do with how much money you have?
Others learn that someone who is an Ashir Muflag, somebody who has a lot of money, this is far more than his normal income, that such a person is allowed to give away more than a chomesh. That too, that's a machlokas. Others learn for Talmud Torah, for a deal of Yisachar Zvulun, that's called not giving away. That's called a sharing. That's called a purchase. You know, that's not considered to be giving away bichlal. And others learn also in terms of a tikkun, somebody who feels he had to be mitaken, something that he did wrong, and the way to do it is to, let's say, he was Mechal Shabbos, he wants to support now the teaching of Shabbos, or that type of thing, that for a tikkun of tshuva, that it's mutter. Again, not everybody agrees. And It's actually very, very nice. A lot of tshuvas that Rav Meisher wrote even about this issue. Now, can you be the Vazvez Yoter Reformish? And there's also a famous Hasidic Shemais, I forgot who it was about, in which the guy was doing this, and they said to him, what do you mean, are you Vazvez? And he tied it, but I'm not being the Vazvez. Everything that I'm doing, I'm only doing it for selfish reasons, because this is the way that I live. I can't live without it, so that's not going to be Vazvez. Vazvez, we're giving away to other people. This, by the way, that also gives rise to a different question. Does that mean that Kal Vachomer, if you can't, the Chafetz Chaim brings this, but more as a moral lesson, this is a Kal Vachomer, if the Chazal don't allow you to give more than 20% to Tzerech, that is, B'rumei Shalom, like Tzedakah, so Halachas Kama V'Kama, a person shouldn't spend more than 20% going on a world cruise or something like that. There's a shadow whether there's actual limitations on giving gifts, things that go beyond. No, of course, this is maybe the whole chasana issue, the mad overspending on all types of things like that. These are the type of things that are brought up, and they get us a lot of bishvus. And also, Tosa springs from the Yerushalmi that this is a question of one time touching your actual capital base, and the other times your income. In other words, let's say you're holding $1 million in cash, you give away $200,000, and then that much you're allowed to give away, but every year you're allowed also to give away 20% of what that remaining money generates. The Omar, and it's interesting that Omar Renachman, Yitemer Vachabar Yaakov, we actually have a remez in the Pesach for this. Maikro v'chol asher titen li asera asrenu loch. It's interesting that Yaakov Avinu is putting limits on his spending, right? So I'll take off aser, asreno. I'll take off one meiser, and I'll take care of another meiser. Okay? So apparently there must be an Indian not to do more than that. Otherwise, making those kind of deals sounds a little bit funny. So it's an Indian to give meiser a meiser. But wait a minute. But that's not one. That's not a fifth. Because once you took off the first meiser, the second meiser is now no longer similar to the first meiser. Now you're not taking off two tenths. So how do you get one fifth? If it had only meant a miser and then another miser, which would have been one tenth of the 90% that had been left, then he would have used the same word. So aser, I'll take off maser, and then I'll take off that amount again. Asrenu, I'll take off that amount as another maser to equal one fifth. So Omravashi Asrena Levatrakikama. Omrav Shimi Barashi, you should know that the three Shmuot that we've had until now, Rabbi Eloy.
What question? But in the Gemara, when you know that the maximum is one fifth. Elsewhere, the Zalman out that the optimum is only one tenth. Only after you can tell the Avam Meisim Nikol.
So what's the problem? I mean, if we find in one place that Torah gives a tenth, and another place we find it one here, we understand that one is minimal and one is maximum. Yeah, very good. The Shmuot Halalu, these three last reports of Rabbi Eloy about the Takanot Usha to be in order to be Mefarnes Banav Uvenotav Aktanim, to somebody who gave away his property is Nizon, nonetheless, by his children, and the Mevazes Al Yevazes Yoter Michomesh, you may notice that they're Mitma'atot Valchot. That we have in each one person less in between the original Shmua and its report. Because originally we had Omer Rabbi Lo, Omer Reish Lakish, Shum Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Chanina. Then we had Omer Rabbi Lo, Omer Reish Lakish. Then the third one was just plain Omer Rabbi Lo. And it's interesting, the only one that stands, as we've seen so far, is the third one. So, I mean, the way that Tosis Rid was learning that the question was whether the report was accurate, and maybe the Rabbi Loy is accurate, but that between him and what it was that had happened, there were too many people. Or again, it may be another approach, whether it ever took off. Remember, a takana doesn't take off until we test it a year later and see whether it's been accepted. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. That a limit will be there, that for sure. That's a problem. It actually says that... I mean, Bali Musa writes, as somebody who is happy about this takona, so when he can't give, his thank heavens, Chazal say, I can't give, is like the goyim who are boyet in the sukkah, when they go out of the sukkah. Thank God we're out of the sukkah. Thank God we're... So, okay, if a person feels sabroch and they, I'm dying to give, and I can't, they won't allow me to give, so then this is a valid limit, but otherwise it's bad news. Okay. Another takana. Amr Rav Yitzchak Ba'usha hitkinu she'adam mitgalgel im benoat 12 shana mikan ve'elach yored imo l'chayav. They also made another takana that you can, a kid who doesn't want to learn until the age of 12, you shouldn't push too hard. Let it roll, as we say, mitgalgel. You let it roll, literally, same word we use in Hebrew. So just let it roll. But if you're not getting anywhere being nice, it's time to start taking harsher measures. Once he's 12. Is this true? Eniv, Amale Rav, Shmuel Bar Shilad. Shmuel Bar Shilad was a famous Malamed Tinokos, where all kinds of amazing things are said of Shmuel Bar Shilad. But anyway, one of the things that Rav told him, as far as how to deal with the kids in his cheder, is that Botzimi Bar Shit and Lotikabel. Do not accept children under the age of 6. Barshit kabil, but if they're 6 years old, you can accept them and already suffer le ketura. You can stuff them the way you would a stuffed shawl. You just keep it pouring. Don't worry about how much material they're going to learn, they can absorb. So you see that you really push even at a young age. Says, no, there's no comparison. Suffer le ketura, yes. But they know you're in Molokhaya. Why is that a contradiction? So we're not talking about pressure. Not talking about pressure where a kid doesn't want to learn. We're talking about pressure, a lot of homework, whatever. But that where there's resistance to the learning process. That's something else. So you can put pressure on him that is just part of the way in which you learn, but don't pressure him to learn. And then you can have the Yoredim alokayav, or ibayit ema lokasha. Maybe you're right. Maybe safile ketura implies a certain coercive element, and nonetheless, there's no problem over here from Rav's tzivoy here to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilad, because that's talking about from mikra. Perhaps a 6 year old isn't learning Mishnah. Ibayit ema lokasha ala mikra. So to learn simple Tanakh that you could start earlier. Hola Mishnah, the Omer Abaya, as Abaya said, Omrali Aim, my mommy always told me, and of course this was not his mommy, this was his nanny, it was Bar Shit, he never had a mommy, remember, that was the story of Abaya, it was a complete yatom, so that his father died upon her becoming pregnant, and his mother died, it was one of these Esther stories, his mother died instantly in the delivery. So Bar Shit Lemikra, that she knows in terms of what a child needs, obviously she's not giving over a halacha to him, but a child of 6 can handle mikra, bar eser le mishnah, and bar tleser le ta'anita mi 8 la 8, you can have a full Yom Kippur tainis bar tleser. There's a lot of discussion over here, by the way, whether a 6 means a 6-year-old or a 5-year-old, so in the 6th year, same thing over here. Are we talking about a 13-year-old, or are we talking about a 12-year-old now in his 13th year? The ta'anita mi 8 la 8, to be mechanechem for ta'anit v'yom ha-kippurim, u'betinoket bat tresa. And with a girl, it's 12.
These ages still relevant
about time? Not necessarily, because which one? The one about Tanit?
The 6-year-old and the
whole
thing.
Sure.
I mean, I have a 12-year-old to push.
Obviously, these are things that need to be practically determined. I mean, if you live in a society that where a child can be rebellious at 12, there's no point in being Yerim Al-Khayat. You know? It's like nowadays when the math teacher gets up and tries teaching in the university, the guy will say, "This is a proof for you, perhaps."
Is there any reason not to say from 11 also?
No, it could be. Omra Bayu. Omra Li Ein. My mommy also told me, once we're on the subject of children's ages, that Hai Bar Shit, the Tarkele Akrava B'Yumet Mishlim Shit, a 6-year-old who is now stung by a scorpion on the day that completes his 6th year, which we would call his 6th birthday, which again we're seeing when we're referring to the 5-year-old as a Bar Shit, which is very common in the Gemara. In the 6th year. Lo chaye. He ain't going to survive. Rashi learns is not going to survive unless some very, very immediate steps are taken to cure him. So maya sute, what can be done for saving his life? But Tosis learns lo chaye is sort of an absolute. I mean, let's say lo chaye. You can say it's a bit very dangerous. So that maya sute would mean what can be done as a preventive, not what can be done if it already happened. But maya sute, mirata de dayachi varta b'shichra. You need to catch a white daya bird, get its liver, and then soak it in beer, and then you rub that on the place where he was stung, and you also, nishafi, and also nishkaya, you also give him to drink. If that doesn't kill him, Hi,
probably
drink. What can you do?
Hi. You take our word for it?
No, there's actually a cheren on ever trying to use any of the Gemara's remedies.
Okay, but what would that
have been? There's an old cheren that's brought by very early Achronim. You're right, not allowed to even try this.
But well, half the time, you know,
why would you put a cheren on the Gemara?
No, they don't put a cherem on the Gemara. They put a cherem on attempting to, well, first of all, because Tosfos says bichlal, that all of these things are not applicable outside of their time. And, so that they, when you live in a different system of medicine, this is all nonsense. That's first of all. But secondly, as the Marshal says, I mean, they never tell you exactly. You know, you're, even if you would do it right, you're doing it wrong. I mean, you're supposed to roast the liver in the shaker. You're supposed to soak it for 24 hours, 3 minutes. But what exactly does it mean? Put it in a Tanya is a kind of bird. It mentions it in the Chumash. That's what it means. That's what Nishtana Teva means. I'm telling you what Nishtana Teva means. And there's a lot of even recent kind of things like that. There's all types of illnesses that affected people 50 years ago, 100 years ago, from your great grandmother. That are absolutely unknown. I mean, nobody even knows what you're talking about. And, these are things that basically change the way people relate to the world.
The kid died by the time you caught the roach.
By the time
the kid would die by the time you caught the bird.
Are you sure I'm going to have this?
You mean you don't think that they had special emergency dia supplies, like blood supplies? They have a dia bank. What's the matter?
Like a
mouth. Okay. So that's the story of the sixth birthday. There's also another story of a Haid that she used to tell me, that Haid Bar Shata, Tatorikle Zibura, the Yom Mishlim Shata, a child that is now stung by a hornet on his first birthday, also lo chai. Very, very dangerous. Maya Suta, Atzvata de Dikla de Maya, take the sieve, that stuff that grows around the bottom of the palm tree, and soak it in water, neshafe, and rub it on the sting, and the shake, and let him drink some of it. Yeah. Omer, yeah.
That would mean as a preventative, without any.
Maybe
there
could.
There's
certainly.
So every child should have this as a preventative.
Only on the first birthday.
Part of your immunization thing, you know, like mercury in your.
It's not Roy Lachila anymore by the time it's soaked in. I don't know. It's not a good, very good point. Good point. Omer of Katina. Somebody who pushes his kid and puts him into school before the age of 6 is going to be chasing after him to get him well for the rest of his life, and he'll never be able to because you're going to make the guy get sick. And from that point on, he's going to be a weak nerd. And so the last thing you want to do is be chasing your kid to make him normal for the rest of his life. Don't try it. Ikari Amri, others say, it means Chaverav Ratzimach Ravein Maginato. The other kids in class will always be trying to catch up with him because he's always going to be ahead and they'll never. See, he's going to be a super nerd. And it's true, both are true. Tavari, no, he will be a super nerd who's half dead. So he'll be Cholish Vegomir. So he will be a very weak child, but he'll know a lot. So, you know, you got to make your choices. Iboitema. Or it could be indeed that they're two separate cases, and they are mutually exclusive. But a child who is a weaker child in the first place, don't ever try such a thing. If he's a tough kid and he's a tank anyway, and there he is at the age of 5 looking like he's ready to beat up the whole schoolyard, you go put him at the school at that age and he'll be okay. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. Bu'usha hitkino, now the next takanat usha.
That's like the other bunch of kids tired of calling throughout the week.
That could be too. Best thing for a bully is to throw him at the cheder, then he'll really learn how to be a bully. Aisha shemachra benitse malug b'chaye ba'ala v'meta. They also made a takana like this. A woman, that theoretically her nitse malug, she owns. It's just that the husband has a right to take the profit off of the Nichsei Malug. So the production goes to him during his lifetime. She sells Nichsei Malug, and then she dies. So now the halacha normally would be that the Nichsei Malug, after she dies, part of her ketubah is inherited by her husband. But over here she sold the rights to somebody, and the question is, mitzad hadin, the sale should be chal at this point, because the Baal wouldn't have rights to the actual keren. The din is that habal motzi miyad alakuchot, that we now give a stronger lien to the Baal. We turn the Baal into the first buyer in terms of the order of liens. So we view his purchase, so to speak, at the time of the wedding to be the purchase of the option to inherit, which came ahead of this other guy's purchase of the option to inherit. And therefore, he comes first, and he can even be motzi miyad al hakuchos. Ashkeche Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef Rabbi Avu. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef found Rabbi Avu, who was learning in Usha, and he was in the middle, davikoy buchlusa the Usha, he was there, where there was a tremendous convention in Usha, where everybody was coming around, and was talking to him, and so on. So he got in there to ask him, Omale man mara vishmaitata de Usha, who is the author of this this report about the Takanas Usha, about Mechir of Nechse Malut. Omale Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Tonamine Arvoin Zimin, he made him repeat it to him 40 times, and then Domile Kamanda Manchele Bekiste, at that point it became so clear the question, what part? Was it the actual Takana that he wanted to review and hear? Or was it the name of the Mandiyama, which is all that he had asked, but he wanted to make sure that he knew. By the way, it's a famous gra that the monach lay bekista, what is the meaning that it was like it was stuck in his pocket? So the gra says, why do we use that as a metaphor for something that you know? Because the Gemara in Bab Metzia learns that something that you keep in your pocket, you're constantly touching to make sure it's still there. So that's the teacher. After you learned it 40 times, now it's in your pockets. Now you can start reviewing it constantly. It should always be in your mind. And that certainly doesn't mean it's a permanent writing to memory that you're going to have accessible. Beautiful. Ashrei Shomrim.
So, Isha Shemach to Brin Seyud, once it becomes the Takana, so you buy it on the understanding that it's...
You're buying her. The Kenyan of the Kedushin.
No, the person who...
Would only be able to get by a right to
that,
her.
That he's buying an option
right.
Depending on who buys first.
Exactly. Ashrei shomrei mishpat oseh tzedakah b'chol eit. Now, v'chevshal asot tzedakah b'chol eit. Is it possible that a person should do tzedakah at all times? I mean, there's other things that you're doing. I mean, it's a question of, availability. There's somebody that needs tzedakah. I mean, what would the pasuk be referring to? Dorshu rabotenu shebeyavne. That's in Bani's neighborhood, just in case you forgot. Va'armi la Rabbi Eliezer. It is possible to do tzedakah at all times. And the way to prove this is to note whether your door of the refrigerator is ever closed. So you'll notice as long as there's kids in the house, the door of the fridge is always open, which means that you're always doing tzedakah b'chol eis, because somebody's always grabbing something to eat. And since that's not the ikar abdin, it turns out to be tzedakah. So somebody who allows his kids basically to be supported in that fashion is also tzedakah b'chol eis. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni Amar, Zeh Magadel Yatom Itoma Betoch Beito Umesiyan. This is someone who has now the worries and has taken upon himself a Yatom and a Yatoma and seeing to it that they should end up growing up and marrying and so on. That person is constantly involved in the care of another human being that was not in any way forced upon him, or something that he wanted on his own.
Listen, is this saying that since previously we said that feeding your kids isn't a chok?
Is it a chok? We didn't accept the. Yeah.
So that now, if you feed your kids, it's like
tzedakah.
It's a tzedakah.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
Yeah.
We take it off of our
miser? That's
we take it off
problem.
Of our good tax.
You can. That's why they give you a break.
That's why you travel. I just want to take it off your miser.
Hon va'osher bebeito v'tzidkato omedet la'ad. So here we're talking about a person who will remain very rich, still has all the hon and osher, and nonetheless his tzedakah is omedet la'ad. It's something that is given forever. I mean, what is that referring to? Ravuna Rav Chista argued, Chadam azeh lomed Torah. Someone who's lomed Torah, his house is filled with those riches, despite the fact that he's melamda. He doesn't lose his Torah by teaching, on the contrary, increases his Torah by teaching. So here he is giving tzedakah forever, because that's something that goes into the world and becomes part of the whole history and development of the world, and yet it all remains by him. He doesn't give it any of it away. This is somebody who now writes the Sefer Torah or writes the Tanakh, or as the Achronim say nowadays, of course, this would be certainly true of Sforim, where the learning of Torah Shebal Peh is also in terms of Sforim. That's the main limud. And it doesn't necessarily mean writing, of course. It could be buying. So someone who buys, it's his. He lends it out to other people to use. It's a custom eslah, but he doesn't lose it. In those days, they didn't have the minhag of borrowing books and never returning them. But then, so you used to be able to get it back, so it was still on Moshe Bebeto. Ure'e banim levanecha shalom al Yisrael, Amar of Yeshua ben Levi. What does this mean, shalom al Yisrael? That kivan shebanim levanecha shalom al Yisrael delati l'dei chalitza v'yibum. What it means is this. Once you've already got banim levanecha, now you don't have to worry about the need for yibum and chalitza, which is not shalom. You could say, I mean, but it's a mitzvah, but it's not shalom. It's a very unpleasant kind of situation. And somebody's spitting at somebody else, and there's the pressure, and they're not being bained by that. That is something that nobody feels comfortable with until he knows his grandchildren. Now he doesn't have to worry about a situation of yibum b'chalitza. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, kivan shebonim levanecha, when your kids have kids, shalom al dayanei Yisrael, now they're not going to come to court for fighting over Yerusha. If there would be no further generation, then you can imagine all the cousins are coming into court already, and now they're going to be contesting who gets the property and so on. That's a disaster. But where it's clear, son has a son, whatever, even the son doesn't survive, the grandson will survive. Now, then there's shalom, at least Yisrael doesn't have to worry about dealing with arguments about the will. Zen midrash derash
or belazef nechon. When did it happen that the Oscar Yibum?
There isn't a particular place where it asked. I mean, it's even not true to say that they asked. There's still cases where for necessity, in order to, you know, where there's no options that will even allow you to do it. Zeh medrash darsh Rav Elazar lefnei chachomim. So we darshened the lashon, not only the lashon, but the parallelism in the lashon of benin duchrin and benan nukvan in the Mishnah. So Yosef kameder Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna was sitting there, and he made a further statement based on the similarity of the takona of benin duchrin to benan nukvan. But people didn't recognize what he was saying. We understand that the whole Makar in the Mishnah was not an idea, habanim yirshu and habanot yizono, and therefore the idea is that the same way that bonim inherit is only inheritance after death. That's not what the Mishnah means. We understand that the meaning of the Mishnah is that there's an equivalency of the takona of the ketuvah of benin dichrin, which means that the sons that a man has from a particular woman, those sons inherit the ketuvah of that woman, if she had died earlier, over and above their part of the estate. Which, of course, is a very specific takona and a specific situation. I'm referring to general Yerusha. Now, it happens to be that just like the other tzna'i ketuvah, the halacha of benin dichrin is only to collect from karkaot and not from metaltelin. So we do not have a halacha of paying up the benin dichrin if the father has left no property and all he has is a bank account. There won't be a benin dichrin. We didn't discuss the similarity of benin dichrin to the mezonos, to the children that come from benot nukvan, which is the question of, is there a responsibility of the heirs to feed the females that are not considered to be your shot, but nonetheless have a schus de parnasa, if the father only left them $1 million in cash, but didn't leave them anything that could be collected as karka. So Rav Hamnuna was talking, Rav Yosef was sitting there, and Rav Hamnuna comes up with a statement that he says, Kishem she'in habanim yorshim ela min hakarka, kach in habanot nizanot ela min hakarka. He made this weird statement, it was out of context of the Mishnah, which made absolutely no sense. And he said, in the same way that sons do not inherit chattel, they only inherit real estate, so too do girls only get the chiyav of mizonot from the estate, from real estate. And the whole place bursts out and screams and rotten tomatoes and ava shalei kulei ava, they start throwing things. What the heck? Who ever heard of such a thing? The Shavik Ara, who the Yarti Leibone, the Lord Shavik Ara, Lord Yarti Leibone, what's he talking about? What's the rabbi talking about? He's flipped his lid. But he's saying only if a father leaves real estate, then there's inheritance, and if he leaves money, there's no inheritance. Exactly. What are you talking about? Well, maybe he wants to take the money, maybe, Rav Amnuna. Maybe that's what it's all about, huh? Maybe, you know, we can jump to conclusions very quickly. Omalei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef, who was sitting there in front of him, says to him quietly, Vidyoma Ktuvat Benin Dikrin, Komamar, were you referring to the similarity of the Ktuvah Benin Dikrin, which indeed is not collectible from Metaltalin? And you were pointing out a further similarity of the Takona of Bezonos of Benot Nukvam to the din of Benin Dikrin. I mean, that would make sense. Oh, Marley, Mar de Gabra Rabu, Yada Maikamina, you who have brains, you know what I'm talking about. All these idiots out there just sitting throwing tomatoes without thinking about what it is that I'm saying. Obviously, that's what I'm saying. Omer Pir Bar Yosef, Rav Zan Michiti de Aliyah. Pir Bar Yosef reports that Rav was once Mezin Banot from Chite de Aliyah, in other words, from certainly from a non real estate issue. Chite de Aliyah means. means chitim that were piled up in the top of the barn, which are certainly nothing but a bank account, so to speak, and didn't have anything to do with karkaot. And we call it min aliyah, the same way it's called min aliyah from whatever it is, the shirt off your back, whatever it's going to take, you're going to pay. So he gave money to yitomot who sued. It's not clear what they sued for. So iboilavu. Was this a suit for parnasan? The din of parnasa is not called mizonot. Don't confuse the two. Va'ana ezin va'afarnes. Those are two different things, right? In the ketubah we write. I will be mezin and mifarnes. So the question is, was this a case of parnasa or was this a case of mizonot? Parnasa is to prepare the nedunya and to give what is required for marriage. And so that's called a parnasa. So one of the things that the father is mechayev himself is that he will be mefarnes his daughters, give them a nedunya according to his, what would be assumed to be his das, were he alive. And then the meaning of aliyah, michite de aliyah, would mean mi'iluya da'av, ukirishmo, the omar shmo lefarnasa shamin ba'av. It's not talking about chitim up in the second story attic. I mean, obviously we're using a metaphor of some kind. So the iluya da'av would mean based on our appreciation of the father's intent, were he alive, and that is Shmuel's psak. Shmuel says when it comes to parnasa, where are you talking about a nedunya? A nedunya is something that is difficult to define what's needed for a nedunya. Nothing's needed for a nedunya. It's a question of what a father's ready to put out to assure that his daughters will get a good marriage and so on. So the halachas for that, we are sham, we estimate what the father, knowing the way that he treated his children during his lifetime, and the way that he generally looked at monetary things, so we analyze that and we give accordingly. Or was it a suit for zan? I mean, it says zan, maybe it means literally mizonim ma'amishavit. And when it says aliyah, then it's not referring to the attic above, meaning what's inside the father's brain, which is the attic of his body, but rather it's referring to the literal attic. There were, but not the attic that had the chitim, but rather the attic in which they had met to create many takanas at the time where there were problems against meeting openly in Beit Din. So there were a series of famous takanas that were made in the Aliyah. We had a couple of examples of this. And midvorim tovim shenemru ba'aliyah. What it meant was that he gave them chitim based on the takona made in the aliyah, the Amr of Yitzchak by Yosef, ba'aliyah hitkinu shiyu benot nizonot v'nametaltalin. They made a takona that the din of zan, literally, of feeding young children, orphan that were left behind, would be even from metaltalin, despite the fact that initially the tnaya ketuvah collectible only from real estate. That's, of course, in response to the problems of Jews owning real estate and so on, that things were becoming impossible. They needed to, as we find a later Takonas HaGa'inim, which we're very familiar with today, that all of the Ksuba is collected from the Talmud. That's why we stick in now the words, Afilu Miglima Dal Katfor, you can collect even from the shirt off my back, because no longer, there were long periods in which Jews didn't own real estate. Yes, Sam?
So, the first explanation is to allow us to get an immovable property, even though by right the girls don't have access to it?
No. The first explanation is that we weren't even talking about movable property.
Well, the water limits that would allow them to access this movable property, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't talking about the takona of mizonos. According to that version, it had nothing to do with our sugya. The second version, it's our sugya. It is talking about mizonos, and it's referring to a later time in which there was now a takona that went beyond the original takonas of Iksuva and insisted that collection is possible even from chattel or from bank accounts. Yes, they're valid. Yeah. So maybe that's what it means. The Omer of Yitzhak Bar Yosef, Baliyat, Yitkinu Shubinot Nizonot Menametatlin. Which one was it? So notice, do we have a raya from here that Rav supported the takana of collection from metaltalin? Once again, we're not sure whether that takana holds. Tashma. Here was a maisa that what happened was Biyadi the Rabbi Banoi, Afud Rabbi Barava, having metaltalin the Yasbi. Rabbi Banoi was basically a banker that people had given things and money that he was supposed to hold for them. And they died, leaving Yitomim. And the Yitomim, Adulakam and Ishmael. So they sued him. They wanted access. Now the Yitomot wanted access to money for mizonos. And the case came before Shmuel, and Shmuel told Rabbi Noi, Zilzon, take some of that money and use it to supply these girls. Now, I mean, the word zone implies my love lemizoni. Apparently he holds of Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef's report of the Be'aliyah Hitkinu that bonos can be collect from metaltalin, and Shmuel was telling him, look, you are the banker, you have the metaltalin, go and allow them access to that money. No, actually maybe it was referring to Parnassah. Atam leParnassah Havoy, this is Shmuel leShitato, Shmuel leTaime, Diyomah Shmuel leParnassah, Shamin Ba'av, we have an umdana, what it is that the father would want, what type of person he was. Was he a generous person? Was it, what would he have given when he was alive? And once it is that we're talking about what he would have wanted, then what he would have wanted means that we're not dealing with a specific lien, and that means it has nothing to do with metaltalin or karka. It's just what we're looking at. A father who died would have meant this for his children, or we respect his will. So if it's in terms of we respect his will, then it's irrelevant whether we're collecting from karka from a tatlin. If we're talking about a specific lien, then of course it depends. Do liens exist on the tatlin or only on karka? So this would be Shmuel's svara, but when it comes to our sugi, which is mizonot, maybe he wasn't referring to mizonot at all. Maybe he's referring only to parnasa.
So it's no proof.
No proof. Havi uvda b'narada. Actually, here we do have a proof. In Narada, there was a maisa. And the don dayoni de Narada, the dayonim of Narada, they went ahead and they did follow this ruling to collect from a tatlin. And in Pumpadisa, where Rav Chana Bar Bizna was head of the business of the Bezdin, v'agve Rav Chana Bar Bizna. Now Rav Nachman, who was the dayan par excellence in Bavel and who had a right to override Piskei Halachas that he felt were tohus in the Mishnah, Amarlo Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said, gentlemen, zilu ahadru, you better pay back that money. V'ilo, and if you don't, magvina lechula padnaichu minaich, I'll collect it out of your homes, which I will take and sell. So I'd advise you to act quickly. So in other words, he held that this was mamash atos b'dvar mishnah, that you're not allowed to collect from a tatlin. They had both collected from a tatlin based on a takana ba'aliyah that he did not accept, Rav Nachman. And therefore, he told them that this is a mistake in which you're going to have to pay up for a mistake. Be magzir the din. He held that he didn't hold it. That's a question. Do we hold that with Yitzchak or do we not? So he's saying, so in Bava we don't hold it as takana.
And Shmuel is not Shmuel said it.
We don't know what Shmuel said. Yeah, Shmuel could have been talking about Parnassa. Rabami v'Rabasi were considering. Case had come before them, and they were considering maybe paskening sovra lemezen mimetatele, and they were considering relying on Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef for this takana. Amalu Rav Yaakov Bar Idi told Rav Amin Rav Asi, for God's sake, Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish had a maisa. They also wanted to do this, but they couldn't bring themselves to do it. Lo avda ba'uvda, they were not sure that it wasn't just stealing, and they didn't do the maisa. You're so sure of yourself, and the takana of Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef that you think you can rely on it more than Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rav Elazar also was sovra lemezen mimetatlin.
He told them that they're right. Don't do it.
Don't do it. Rav Elazar also wanted to do this, and Rav Shimon ben Eliakim said, Rebbe, I'm sure that you don't mean this lahalacha. I mean, you mean a way to be mechayev al tzedakah or something, but I mean, this is not something you really want to do, is it? Because el hashema yiru atalmidim v'yikburu alach aladorot. What if people think that indeed in all cases this is the ikar adin? And certainly it isn't. It's a nice way of saying, yeah. Who the other kind of Yosef? So there was once a case like this that came to Rav Yosef for collection for Yitomot. Omalu havula mitamrei de albudya. Why not pay up the mizonos that they need from the budya? The budya are the spread out mats that you put underneath the date trees, and the dates fall on them when they fall off of the trees, so they shouldn't get ruined, and use that for the value of the parnosa, which of course is metatalin. Omalei Abaya said, how are you collecting that? Ilu ba'alchov havim, and a ba'alchov is certainly in a better position. A ba'alchov is able to even collect from the chosim mishul batim to somebody else who has a lien. Certainly, these cases cannot collect from the chosim mishul batim, and they're only allowed to collect from b'nei chorin. And would you do this for a ba'alchov? So how can you now be gova mazon for yitomot from something that you wouldn't even, who don't have a right for nefasim mishubadi, something that you wouldn't even collect for a balkov? Mi aviyav lemar? Omar le, no, I didn't mean the fruit that had already fallen. I mean, that of course is metatalim. I meant the chazi lebudya kamin. I meant the fruit that is almost ready for cutting, and what they would do is they would cut it and allow it to fall. So I mean the ripe fruit. Sof kolom edikzoske gozes dami. Isn't that considered to be metaltamin? Because once they're ready to be cut, they're no longer tzrichais leilana. They don't need the tree. Once they don't need the tree, they haven't been a metaltamin. If they're bechuper lekarka and they still need the tree for ripening, okay, then you can call them karka, not metaltamin. Well, he says, I mean the tzricha ledikla kamin. I didn't mean to go on that. Fruit that are almost ready, but they still need the tree. So, in other words, I'm talking about really collecting from, boy, you're backing up very quickly. So, I'm talking about collecting not mamish metaltalin, but karka that's korev to metaltalin. Not that we need to mamish sell the field.